This is Movies for the Blind, Episode 84, The Dick Van Dyke Show, Bank Book Number 6565696.
All we need now is a brilliant, sensational, hilarious comedy sketch.
Hello and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. Back to TV for the Blind for now. Last year, I featured two episodes of The Dick Van Dyke Show and promised that more was to come. So, here we are. In its way, the series was sort of revolutionary in how it depicted a modern American family, and especially a modern American housewife. Played by Mary Tyler Moore, Laura Petrie was a little closer to being an equal to her husband than past sitcom housewives, offering opinions that did make a difference about how the house and the relationships were run. And she often did it wearing cool, form-fitting pants, which was revolutionary in and of itself. This episode shows, though, that in 1962, the independence of an American housewife was still in its early stages. From the show's second season, this is Episode 4, Bank Book Number 6565696.
The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Rob Petrie enters his house.
Starring Dick Van Dyke.
Greeted by his wife and son, he turns and trips over an ottoman.
Rosemary, Maury Amsterdam, Larry Matthews, and Mary Tyler Moore.
At home, Laura watches Rob fix a toaster on the dining table.
I'll close now, Miss Petrie.
Closing the bottom.
All fixed.
He turns it over.
There.
He puts bread slices in the slots, pushes them down, and waits.
Just think, at this very moment, the mighty Niagara, harnessed to giant generators, its energy racing along 400 miles of copper wire just to heat our toaster. All we have to do is wait.
Don't we have to plug it in?
Looking down sheepishly, he bends to insert the plug into an extension cord. Then returns to the table.
You think with that 400-mile running start, it could jump the last 2 feet by itself? Well, be any minute now, honey. You don't have to worry about buying any new toaster.
Good.
Now, what color do you like your toast? Honey gold? Or maybe cocoa tan? How about cordovan brown?
Rob.
Smoke rises from the toaster. As they wave at the smoke, Rob gets the bread to eject. He pulls out a slice.
That's my shade. Basic black.
If you hadn't made me plug it in, this would never have happened.
He puts it back.
Well, dear, I'll leave you to work it out by yourself. I'm going shopping.
Laura answers the door.
Oh, hi, Laura.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Rob.
Well, hi, Jerry.
He carries a case over to Rob.
She burned the toast.
Oh, here.
Laura gets her coat from the closet.
Just returning your projector.
Oh, how'd it work?
Well, not so good. There's something wrong with it. It overheats and the film smokes and burns.
Overheats and the film smokes and burns? I'll have to fix it.
Sounds like you already did.
If Thomas Edison was married to her, we'd still be using candles.
Hey, Rob, when are you going to get a new projector?
Well, just as soon as I can afford one. When are you going to get one?
Why don't I borrow yours until you get a new one?
Rob takes it.
Why don't you borrow a toaster?
Darling, looks like I'll need an extra $20.
He sets the case down.
What did you do with the money I gave you yesterday?
I gave every cent to a little old tramp who came to the back door, delivering our groceries.
He gets her some money from his pocket.
Wouldn't you ask me what I did with the money you gave me yesterday?
Well, just for Jerry's benefit, I don't want him to think I'm a pushover. No. Hurt my image.
He picks up the case again.
Bye, darling.
Bye.
And kisses her.
Bye, Jerry.
Bye, Laura.
As she leaves, Rob puts the case in the closet.
You know something? She is good with money.
He shuts the closet door.
In terms of finances, she's a pretty good man.
About to sneeze, Rob searches his pants pockets with no luck.
Well, here, Rob.
Jerry gives him his handkerchief.
Like, I can't use that as bodograph.
Rob gives it back, still holding the sneeze.
I kept blowing your family crest.
He almost sneezes on Jerry.
Oh, sorry, Jerry.
Still holding back, he runs for the kitchen door, then back across the living room to Jerry, who gets out of the way so he can keep running into the bedroom. He climbs onto a bed to a nightstand and grabs a tissue box, but it's empty. He turns to a set of drawers and opens one, tossing out socks and grabbing a handful of underwear, which he drops. Running for a vanity drawer, he opens it, pulls out more things, and finally finds a handkerchief. As he unfolds it, he sneezes into the air. Jerry runs in.
Almost made it. You all right?
He blows his nose.
It was just a sneeze.
Oh, it must have been a beaut to blow off your socks and underwear. Oh, here, let me help you, Rob.
As they pick up the things Robert tossed out, Jerry finds something white and flat.
Hey, what's this? One of Laura's gloves.
Don't you think she's going a little heavy on the starch?
He smacks it on his hand and gives it to Rob.
What's inside?
Well, I don't know, but it's not a human hand. I mean, at least not life as we know it now.
Must be something that Laura's hiding.
He pulls something out.
Come on, Laura's not a hider.
Hey, it's a bank book.
Oh. Rob opens it.
Mrs. Laura Petrie. Isn't that cute? She's got a little nest egg of her own.
Cute. You really think that's cute, huh?
Well, so she has a few dollars in her little private bank account. How much could it be?
Okay, how much?
Well, I don't even have to look. It can't be more than just a little pittance. $378.
A little pittance?
So she has a big pittance. Her pittance. But maybe she's just setting aside a little for a rainy day.
$378? Boy, that's enough for the monsoon season.
Oh, now, a lot of wives put aside a little for a rainy day. What's wrong with that?
Well, nothing. But why is the money just in her name? I mean, listen, if it rains, doesn't she care if you get wet?
Rob waves him off, smiling. Later in the writer's room.
All we need now is a brilliant, sensational, hilarious comedy sketch.
Are you ready?
I told you he was here.
Sally joins Buddy and Rob.
You know what would be a cute idea for a sketch? Alan plays the part of a husband who accidentally finds his wife's checkbook.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, she's got a private bank account she's socking money into.
Oh, and he don't know anything about it.
Yeah, and she's got like $378.16 in there.
Hey, a sketch like this could be wild. Guy like that gotta be an idiot.
Yeah, a real schnook.
Well, no, I...
Rob gets up from the couch.
Why couldn't a guy just be a plain, normal, intelligent, strikingly handsome young fellow with a wife named Laura?
Oh, and maybe the schnook's name is Robert Petrie?
That's a good name.
Rob, you mean Laura's been stashing it away without your knowledge?
Yeah, isn't that cute?
Yeah.
Cute and adorable. I don't know, but women do silly things like that. For years, my wife kept throwing quarters into a cookie jar. Drove me nuts. Finally, I found out what she was saving for.
What was it?
Cookies!
Buddy and Sally point at each other.
Boy, she didn't save any $378, though. What do you think Laura's stashing away for?
I don't know.
Yeah, it could be cookies. Everything's gone up.
Sally files her nails.
Well, anyway, it's her business. It's not really important. I think in the sketch, Alan should...
Hey, wait a minute. Maybe it's just plain old mad money.
Mad money?
Yeah, you know, in case she gets mad at you. Then she can take the money, get a new house, buy a new car, get a new fella.
For $378?
So she'll get an old fella.
You know, you guys are joking, but there's one aspect of this whole silly thing that intrigues me.
He sits.
You mean the fact that Laura's keeping a secret from you?
No, that doesn't bother me. It's just the fact that she's keeping it a secret from me. That bothers me.
They watch Rob stare into space thoughtfully.
Doesn't the fact that she's keeping it a secret bother you?
No, I don't worry about things like that.
If I were you, I'd worry about my hearing, Fred.
Rob turns to them.
Rob, snap out of it!
You're beginning to sound like a guy whose wife's ready to leave him.
Oh, come on, I'm not worried.
He gets up.
It's just that I can't figure out why she's keeping any account a secret from me.
Well, she's kept secrets from you before, hasn't she?
No, this is the first one.
You mean the first one you found out about?
Rob gets water from the cooler.
You're trying to do break up Rob and Laura?
That's more fun than writing a sketch.
You know, she probably has a good reason for keeping that secret from me, though.
He drinks.
Hey, have you said or done anything lately to make her feel insecure?
Like what?
I don't know, like forgetting an anniversary or birthday or something?
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, I bought her a beautiful present for my birthday.
You bought her a present for your birthday?
Boy, I bet she loved that.
No, tomorrow is my birthday.
Oh.
We get the hint, Rob.
Yeah, we'll get you something, Rob.
She's probably been saving that money to buy me a present.
$378? Boy, that's a lot of present.
Hey, you been hitting around for something big?
No, nothing like a thing. Wait a minute, I bet she's going to get me that movie projector I've been spouting off about. But it costs $425.
Well, that's it. That solves your problem.
Yeah, now the only one with a problem is Laura. Let's see, she needs $425. She has $378.
Sally writes the problem in the air with her finger.
That means she needs...
She peers at the imaginary problem.
What does she need?
Buddy peers at it.
$47.
Oh, yeah, $47.
Tell you something, Rob. If she's anything like my wife, she'll figure out a way to get that money.
Rob answers the phone.
Yeah, Marge. Yeah, send her in.
Laura's here.
I told you. Already she figured out a way how to get that loot.
She enters.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, hi, Laura. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
Well, we'll leave you two alone in case you want to kiss or something like that. Come on, buddy. Let's go for coffee.
No, I want to stay. I never saw a real holdup before.
Sally hustles him out.
Be back in a few dollars.
Yeah, bye.
They leave.
Be back in a few dollars. What does that mean?
He means time is money.
Hey, what are you doing clear downtown?
Well, I was just in the neighborhood shopping. I thought I'd come in and say hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hey, honey, you know, I've been thinking. I didn't give you very much extra money this morning.
He takes them out as they sit.
And, you know, when I left, I noticed that you ought to have the toaster fixed. You think so?
Good idea.
Okay. And, Richie's underwear has been ragged lately.
I've been meaning to get him some new shorts.
Oh, good, good. We were out of peanut butter this morning. Would you get some more peanut butter?
Yes, I will.
Okay, let's see. That's underwear, peanut butter, and a toaster. Do you think that would come to, around, say,
$47?
$47? Yeah. I'll tell you what. I'll put in an extra 10, you get the leather case, too.
She looks at him, confused. And he gives her the money.
Can't carry peanut butter and underwear around in a plain paper bag, can you?
Charlie, what makes you so generous today?
He stands.
Well, the way I look at it, the more you give, the more you receive, huh?
She stands.
I guess so, dear. Well, I better finish my shopping.
As they kiss, Buddy and Sally come back.
Oops. Oh, sorry.
No, I'm just leaving. Bye, darling.
Bye.
Bye, Laura.
Bye-bye.
Happy shopping.
Thank you.
Laura leaves.
Laura.
New projector.
Buddy shakes his hand, and Sally joins in. That night, Laura moves a chess set off the dining table as Rob arrives.
Hi, Lily.
They kiss.
You're home early.
Well, I had a good day.
She puts down the set.
How'd your day go?
Just fine. Kind of tired, though. Shopping does wear you out.
Oh, yeah, but I guess the important thing is getting what you wanted, right?
Right.
She sets the table.
Did you get the peanut butter and the underwear and et cetera?
Uh-huh. Dinner's on, we'll eat early if that's all right.
Oh, yeah, fine. I'll hang up my hat.
He looks around as he heads for the closet. When he opens it, he puts on his hat so he can take a box off a shelf and shake it. Putting it back, he reaches into one corner of the closet, then another, watching that Laura still has her back turned. She turns, then he puts his hat on the shelf, then closes the closet as she keeps setting the table.
Oh, boy, you got a lot of mail today.
He picks it up.
That one's my brother.
Yes.
Stepping behind her, he keeps looking around.
Roast chicken, mashed potatoes, and string beans.
Mmm.
When she goes into the kitchen, he drops the mail and searches under the bar. On his hands and knees, he scuttles across the room, then gets up to look behind the curtains. Hurrying back, he steps over furniture and gets down as Laura returns.
Roast chicken, huh?
She sets out the glasses and he pretends to check the mail, still glancing around.
And apple pie for dessert.
Oh.
She leaves again. And he dives to look under the couch. He crawls around it, reaching underneath, where a toy car speeds out. He grabs it, gets to his knees, and stuffs it back under the couch.
Everything sure smells good.
What do you think, Alex?
He looks under the couch as she comes out of the kitchen and watches him.
Sure smells wonderful, all right.
She steps up behind him and looks down at him. He straightens up, thinking. Then notices her.
It smells so good I can smell it down here.
He looks under the couch once more.
Rob, what are you looking for?
I dropped my tag, tie clip down there.
Oh.
Can't find.
He stands.
Need any help, honey?
No. You hungry?
Oh, sure.
Well, we'll be ready in a few minutes.
Okay.
She goes back to the kitchen. When he runs to the closet, she comes right back out and watches him search through it, reaching up for a high shelf, then hanging from it and pulling himself higher and higher. As his legs kick and strain to get him higher, Laura approaches the closet.
Rob!
His legs hang limp, and he lowers himself down.
Still looking for your tie clip?
Yeah, it's...
He steps out.
Could have bounced.
He closes the closet.
There. Well, I got those rubber mats under the carpet. It wasn't up there.
No. Yeah. Darling, you can stop looking. Your birthday's tomorrow, and you're not getting your present till then.
My birthday?
If you hadn't mentioned that, I would have completely forgotten it. Anyway, I guess I'm a little old to be celebrating birthdays anyway, right?
Richie runs out.
Hi, Daddy!
Oh, hi, Rich.
He turns to the bedroom.
It's not in there either.
I know that. I'm just kidding your mama.
Rob, really? Look, before you turn the whole house upside down, I'll give you your present ahead of time.
Well, Jim, I was born right after midnight anyway, honey. It's practically today.
Richie, why don't you get your present, too?
Oh. Okay, Mommy.
Laura goes back into the kitchen, and Richie runs off to his room. Rob answers the door.
Oh, hi, Rob.
Hi, Jerry.
Say, can I borrow your projector again?
Sure.
He opens the closet.
When do you need it back?
He gets it out.
You may keep it, sir. I'll make a present of it to you.
Well, thanks, but how come?
I'm getting a new one for my birthday. Now, get out of here.
Why? What's the rush?
I am in the middle of being surprised.
Oh, okay. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
When Jerry leaves with the projector, Rob ducks into the closet and gets an extension cord.
You ought to be a picture. You're beautiful to see. You ought to be in picture.
Plucking it in under the bar, he starts unwinding it as Richie runs out.
Happy birthday, Dad!
He gives him a box.
Oh, thank you, Rich.
It cost me a fortune.
I bet it did. It's very sweet of you, Rich.
That's okay, Daddy. You're worth 89 cents.
Rob opens the box.
Hey, what is this? Oh, boy, a baseball cap.
He puts the little cap on top of his head.
It's almost my size.
My size?
It is. Hey, let's...
He puts it on Richie.
Well, good. Maybe you can wear it once in a while, too, huh?
Gee, thanks, Daddy.
Wearing the cap, he runs back to his room. As Rob twirls the cord, Laura returns with another box.
John, what did you do with the cord?
The box is not big enough for a projector.
This cord?
Yes.
Well?
Rob, what did you think I was giving you?
Electric blanket?
It's a cashmere sports shirt.
Oh, it's not electric, huh?
No. It's one of the old-fashioned kind.
Yeah, I won't need that anymore, I guess.
He drops the cord.
Happy birthday, darling.
Oh,
the kiss.
Honey, thanks.
Forcing a big smile, he opens the box.
Gee, this is really sweet of you.
He keeps smiling.
Well, is it a surprise?
Boy, it sure is, honey. Hey.
He takes out the shirt and puts it back in.
Honey, I'll be right back.
He sets it down.
Jerry wants to see me.
Well, what's up?
Well, I mean, I gotta get my old sports shirt back. No, he wants to see my new one. Yeah, he wants to see the new one.
Picking it up again, he heads for the door.
Gee, I'm so excited, I don't know what I'm saying.
He opens the door.
Oh, boy, a new cashmere projector. Sports shirt.
He closes it on the box. Then pulls it out. Next day at work.
Hey, Rob's gonna love this, boy.
Yeah, buddy, set it up over there. Oh.
He sets up a movie screen.
I'll get it.
Good.
Sally picks up the phone.
Hello? Yeah, okay, Marge, thanks. Here.
Good. Well,
as they pretend to go over a script, Rob walks in.
Hi, Rob.
Yeah, it's good.
And, you see, when...
As he approaches them...
Happy birthday!
Ta-da!
Buddy opens the screen.
Hey, What's this?
Oh, a little something. Birthday present for me and Sally.
Oh, boy. A movie screen?
No, it's a pair of Hungarian shoelaces. Of course it's a movie screen.
Yeah, Rob, it's a new one to go with your new projector.
Yeah. Boy, that's really great.
It's kind of a set, you know.
You like it?
Yeah, I love it. It's marvelous.
He closes it.
Sure is a beauty.
He folds it up.
He should have done it. Yeah, I have to take it home with me.
He picks it up.
Well, we better get down to work, fellas.
Hey, it's beauty, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it.
He puts it aside.
Is it the price tag on it?
I ain't ashamed. We paid retail.
Rob, did you act real surprised when Laura gave you the projector?
Well, she didn't give me a projector.
She didn't?
No, she gave me something that she liked a lot more than it.
What?
A sports shirt.
A $378 sports shirt?
Well, this was cashmere.
Wow.
Look, fellas, should we go to work?
Rob goes to the desk.
Come on, stop clowning, Rob. I know Laura. She got you something more than a sports shirt.
Yeah, what else did you get, Rob?
A baseball cap.
A baseball cap? Well, that's more like it.
Richie gave it to me.
Geez, $378, you'd think with all that...
Sally nudges Buddy.
We better get to work
here. Let's go back to work.
Rob stares at the paper and the typewriter, then yanks it out.
I can't work. The doggone bank account's gonna drive me crazy.
That's it.
What's this?
She wants to drive you crazy so she can grab all your money while you're weaving baskets.
Rob, I think Buddy was right in the first place. Could be good old-fashioned mad money.
Well, it must be mad money because that money is making me mad.
He steps away from the desk.
Sorry. Why, it's not the money in the first place. It's just the fact he's keeping it a secret from me.
Well, it's her money and it's her secret and there's nothing you can do about it.
No. Well, I can take that bank book number 6565696, wave it under her little nose and ask her why she thinks she has to have a private bank account.
You wouldn't do that.
Oh, no? Would you like to come home with me and watch?
No, thanks. My wife and I are planning our own fight.
That night, in the bedroom...
Rob, why are you pacing around like a caged tiger?
Let me pace a couple more times, I'll tell you.
In her nightgown, Laura sits on her bed watching Rob pace in his robe. He goes to the vanity drawer, pulls out the glove and confronts her.
All right, what is this?
That's my glove, and what are you doing with it?
I would just like to know why you think it necessary to hide a bank book in here.
She stands.
Rob, how could you? You looked in my private glove.
She takes it from him.
This is my own personal property, and you've gotten... Rob, how could you do such a terrible thing?
She stalks to the drawer.
How can I... How can you think so little of our relationship, of me?
What has this got to do with that?
I would like to know why you think you have to have your own private bank account.
Because I do, that's why.
She puts it back.
All right, then. The next logical question is, what is wrong with the money in our joint account?
Well, that's our account and our money. This is my money.
Your money?
Yes, Rob, I want some money that's mine to spend on anything I want. It's important to me. I don't want everything coming from you.
And where did you get this money?
From you?
Well, isn't it all the same thing, then? Either you get money from me, or you get money from that, which came from me.
No, Rob, it's completely different. Oh.
He slumps at the foot of his bed.
I put this money in a little at a time. At first it's from you, but then after it lies around for a while, I forget that it came from you, and then it's from me. You just don't understand.
Oh, yes, I understand. You want some money of your own. What I don't understand is why.
He stands.
That's it. That's exactly it.
What's it?
You just don't understand.
She goes to get a tissue as she cries.
Honey, look, I want to understand, but you've got to help me a little bit. Now, just give me a hint. The first word. The first letter. Honey, please.
All right, I'll tell you. And then I hope you'll be satisfied that you've just ruined everything.
She gets it.
That money is for you.
And smacks it in his chest as she walks off.
For me?
I wanted to buy you something for your birthday.
Well, you already bought me something for my birthday. Don't tell me that shirt cost...
Oh, no, Bob, this money isn't for now. It's for 2 or 3 or 4 years from now. Whenever I saved up enough money to buy you that stupid sports car you've been drooling over.
Sports car?
Yes, that silly XKG JFK 400 Roadster. With matching luggage.
She flops onto her bed. Looking at the book and the glove, Rob approaches her and bends down.
Honey.
She squirms away from him and sits up.
Honey, you mean you've been saving this to buy me an XKG JFK 400?
I wanted to buy you an important present.
He steps around the bed.
Honey,
and sits beside her.
Honey, it's a wonderful thought, but it's a little bit crazy. Where did you ever get an idea like that?
From my mother.
Your mother?
She saved for years. And then on their 25th wedding anniversary, she bought my father a big, important present.
Well, what did she get him?
His own room.
His own room?
Well, I mean a den with a pool table and a beer dispenser, and now you've ruined it.
Oh, honey, no, I haven't ruined it.
He holds her.
Look, all I've done is force you to tell me something that makes me very, very happy that I'm married to you. As a matter of fact, now that I know, it's going to be a lot easier for you.
How?
Well, from now on, when you ask me for extra money, I'm going to be a pretty soft touch.
She starts sobbing again.
the matter?
You're laughing at me.
She gets up and walks off, but he follows her.
Look, I'm not laughing at you.
He turns her around.
No, the only reason I'm being frivolous is because I'm so touched and embarrassed by the whole thing, and if I didn't joke about it, I'd...
You'd what?
Well, I'd probably put my arms around you and hug you so hard I'd break two or three of your ribs.
Oh, please try.
He does. Later, as she sits up in bed...
Honey...
He sits down.
You know, I appreciate what you're trying to do, and I think it's a wonderful idea, but we gotta look at the thing practically. It's gonna take you... for 20 years to save enough money for that car.
Don, you mean you want me to just forget all about it?
No, no. You know what we ought to do?
What?
I think we ought to sell the house and get the car right away.
She smiles.
Well, what's the rush?
Well, I know when I get the car, I intend asking you to take a trip with me, and I'd like to do it when I'm still young.
What's the matter, darling? Don't you think I'd accept an invitation from a gray-haired old gentleman?
Well, sure you would, but who wants to roar around the country in a hot sports car with a gray-haired old lady?
She throws a pillow at him, knocking him over his bed.
Night, darling.
Good night.
Directed by John Rich. Written by Ray Allen Safian and Harvey Bullock. This described version of The Dick Van Dyke Show, bank book number 6565696, was produced for Movies for the Blind. With Dick Van Dyke as Rob, Mary Tyler Moore as Laura, Jerry Paris as Jerry, Maury Amsterdam is Buddy, Rose Marie is Sally, and Larry Matthews is Richie. Produced and created by Carl Reiner. Associate producer, Ronald Jacobs. Music by Earl Hagen. Executive producer, Sheldon Leonard, in association with Danny Thomas. Filmed at Desilu, a Calvada production, 1962. And that was bank book number 6565696. Earlier, I mentioned how Laura's wearing pants was revolutionary in itself. To be exact, she favored capri pants, which stop midway up the calf. Now, until that point, most housewives wore dresses on TV. But Mary Tyler Moore explained that most housewives she knew wore pants. The network, CBS, was against the idea, and at first stipulated that Laura had to wear a skirt or a dress for a certain number of scenes per episode. The reaction? They filmed scenes where Laura would walk into the kitchen in her capri pants and come out soon after in a skirt. The network finally gave up. You may remember Laura talking about her mom getting her father a den with a pool table. Well, we'll be visiting Rob's den when Buddy's brother hits town with a pool cue in tow for an episode called Hustling the Hustler, next time on Movies for the Blind. For more information and links about the movies and TV shows, about description, and how to subscribe, check the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. The MP3s are currently being hosted by Blind File Sharing, with easy, affordable, and accessible file storage and transfer with visually impaired users in mind. To find out more, visit blindfilesharing.com. The movies and TV shows are from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at www.archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.